Michael Flessner, and I am a member of the leadership team, but more specifically, I co-lead the outreach as well as co-lead the Harvest Weed Seed Control research.
Karen Corrigan, I'm an independent agronomist with McGillicuddy Corrigan Agronomics, and I am an Illinois Soybean Association, Illinois Soy Envoy.
So we're in Houston for a commodity classic. We came all the way to Houston to talk about weeds, which I think is an important issue probably no matter where you go, but certainly throughout the Midwest. GROW, for those that don't know, you know, you have so many acronyms in ag, but I really think this is one people should know. I think it's a pretty cool twist on it too. So GROW stands for Getting Rid of Weeds, which I think is on the top of farmers' minds when they're going through the growing season. So tell us about this program itself, and I guess if you know why it got started, how it's operating today.
Yeah, so GROW is really a network of scientists that are doing both outreach as well as research. And the network is all public scientists, so extension specialists like myself, as well as some USDA scientists. And we came together around herbicide-resistant weeds and trying to find solutions there. And so those are both chemical, right? We can fight fire with fire and try to have our best practices for herbicides, but also integrating non-chemical techniques. And that's really where most of our research actually revolves around. So we have really kind of three major research areas. One is harvest weed seed control. Another is cover crops. And then one we're calling precision weed management.
Which is new, correct? I just saw something on that the other day that you're expanding your toolbox with precision weed management.
Yeah, so the precision weed management just got added to the website here. Yeah, I think it was last week. And so you can check out what that's all about there. But one of the cool things that we're doing there in that space is a annotated image repository. And so people can, companies that maybe are a startup that need a lot of weed images that are properly labeled can use that and leverage that. And that's kind of in conjunction with PSA or Precision Sustainable Agriculture there. So that's a resource that existing companies could take advantage of, as well as some new ones. But I think it's a good public good that's out there in that space. Yep.
So Karen, I'll come over to you real quick. As an agronomist yourself and specializing in weeds, she does say her Twitter handle is Weed Girl, so I think you know a thing or two about this concern or issue that we have in crop production. So how does an organization like GROW help in the aid of fighting weeds? I mean, you talked about chemical control, but if there's anything I've learned on the job in the past year, that can't be the only strategy, can't be the only answer. So from your view, what's it like having a program such as this to help combat weeds?
I think a lot of farmers are going to need to look at that non-chemical weed control. And so anytime they can see it being successful, I think they're more likely to adapt it. You're right, we can't keep fighting herbicide resistance with more herbicides because we're not getting any new active ingredients, so we're not changing anything. We have to look at cultural practices, we have to look at anything non-chemical, and as much as they can see of that being successful, then they're more likely to adapt to it.
So you have a lot of things on your website, which you say is your main outreach platform. I guess first let's talk about the outreach. You do farmer forums and things like that, so it's not like you have to be in one part of the country. It's like in-person events. This is an online platform that gives people from all over the U.S., frankly all over the world, that can take advantage of these resources that you're producing.
Yeah, so we have come together around that herbicide resistance space, and the idea is instead of having it replicated 50 different times in 50 different states, let's have one solid unified message about that. And exactly like Karen said, it's we've got to diversify those tactics beyond herbicides. And so from our outreach perspective, there's a lot of different ways to do it, and certainly you can't do it the same everywhere. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. What works in the Pacific Northwest probably isn't going to work in Florida, right? So we try to have a range of techniques on there. They may not fit you, but they may inspire some thinking and some kind of adapting for other operations there. But So there's a range of things on the website, as well as our social media platforms. But yeah, we also have a range of ways you can kind of interact with the material. If you want to just read it on the website, we have that. If you want to see YouTube videos, we've got a bunch of YouTube videos. We also have farmer forums, which is like our webinars, where we'll try to have 2 to 3 farmers that have had success in that space and have kind of gone through those learning curves and learning pains sometimes and figure out how to make it work and share their experiences, right, and try to get that farmer-to-farmer connection there. So, yeah, a range of different ways to kind of digest that information.
So talk about the research. You said a network of scientists. What kind of things are they looking into right now? What concerns or issues? Besides just, you know, weeds in general, which farmers want to get rid of, but looking in it more specifically. And then, Karen, if you want to jump in, if there's anything that I'm forgetting to.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's precision weed management, which is probably a little bit away from where, like, a farmer could use that right now. But the two closer things are going to be cover crops and harvest weed seed control. So in the cover crop space, we've known from grow research as well as a lot of other great research that's out there, if you can grow a big biomass cover crop, that biomass acts like a mulch layer, and you can get some pretty significant weed suppression if you get that big biomass cover crop. Certain areas can get that, and certain areas are going to have challenges getting that.
Another issue is that is farmers feel like they need to kill it before it gets tall enough to actually serve as a mulch crop. So we need to slow them down and let that biomass grow so that they can take advantage of the mulch effect.
And there's a lot of hesitations about trying to plant through that, and that's actually some of the resources we have is in case studies of how farmers have modified their planters and learned to get through that, still get good seed to soil contact, still get a good stand, but maintain that big mulch layer to suppress weeds. So that's, I think that's one way we can certainly fight weeds, you know, kind of at the beginning of season with that mulch layer, and then the other way is harvest weed seed control at the end of the season. And so that is a various ways of achieving that, but what you're trying to do is take the weed seeds that are on the plant at the time of harvest, and rather than having the combine come through and spread those weed seeds out across that field and carry them from one farm and field to the next, is to try to manage those. And so there's seed impact mills, like the Reticop Seed Control Unit and the IHSD is what we've been looking at in our network, but there's also a seed terminator. So those actually go on the back of the combine, it processes the chaff fraction, and it mills those weed seeds. It kills those just kind of through physical brute force, damages the seed coat, damages the internal organs, and it kills those before it spreads those residues back out. And so that's a great way to kind of at the end of the season have the final say on the weeds that escaped, because those are a lot of times herbicide resistant weeds, right? Because they've come through that herbicide program, they've beaten your crop competition, they probably robbed you of fertilizer and yield, and so. We're really doing ourselves a disservice, I think, to spread those weed seeds out across the field. So those are some of the ways we're looking at. But of course, there's always the kind of the ways that we've known for a while of you know, if we get narrow row spacing and faster canopy, if we can have a more diverse crop rotation, all those kinds of things are on the website as well.
Isn't there another one that kind of wind rows all the chaff too? And how does that actually kill off the weed seeds, or does it work?
Yeah, so I mentioned the seed impact mills is one way to implement harvest weed seed control. Chaff lining is another way that I think is very adoptable, maybe even more so than the impact mills, just because the upfront cost is less. But what you're doing is taking only the chaff fraction, and so at a lot of combines you have to have a baffle or a piece of metal to keep what's coming off of the sieves and funnel that down into a funnel, essentially. But the straw fraction, what's coming off the beater and usually through a straw chopper, that's still being spread out. But the weed seeds, that's where they're exiting the combine, so that's the fraction you're focusing on. So chaff lining is basically just lining the chaff as the combine moves through the field. And you're not killing the weed seeds, but you are condensing them to a row that's usually kind of 12 to 18 inches wide. And so what So there you're not, you know, the seed impact mills, you have an extra horsepower draw, you've got extra moving parts in a combine, there's a larger upfront cost. This is very passive, like there's no moving parts, right? It's easy to modify kind of any combine. You don't have to have a class 8 and have all that horsepower that's needed. So it's maybe more adoptable, but you're not killing the weed seeds as the trade-off. You're just condensing them. But, you know, when you're talking about condensing them down to like maybe 5 or 10% of the field, versus 100% of the field is spreading them out. That's been, I think that's a win. The other thing that we've seen preliminarily in our data, as well as what they've seen in Australia, is that the weeds that go into that chaff line, not as many are emerging. We're not really sure why yet. That might be increased seed predation, right? That it's easier to find weed seeds when they're all lined up in a row. The chaff is not a good environment for wheat seeds to germinate in. Whatever the reason, the good news is that fewer wheat seeds are coming out of that chaff line than had we spread them out with the conventional harvest operation. So it's definitely, I think, a positive step in the right direction and some space to watch moving forward.
And it's definitely more economical than, say, the ones that grind up the wheat seeds also, from what I've seen. So I'm interested in that kind of research, anything that can get the water hemp out of the field.
There are some challenges, though, like, you know, when you have residue in a pile in a field, right, your concern is planting that next crop through that. And so what we've seen with soybeans is that residue is, it's got a high enough nitrogen content where it's going to be basically gone even at a high soybean yield and a bigger chaff line. It's pretty much decomposed by that next planting season. But wheat chaff, having, you know, a lot less nitrogen, more lignified, and more chaff actually than what soybean produces per kind of unit yield, that will stick around and you might have some planting challenges. So we're in my state, where I'm in Virginia, we do a lot of double crop soybeans right after wheat harvest.
Same in Illinois.
Yep, yeah, a lot of, and it's, there's a big swath of the country that does that. And we're probably not going to get soybeans coming up, at least with a drill, through that chaff line. What we, again, preliminary small plot research, what we've seen though is we didn't actually have a yield penalty because of that. I mean, I know if I'm putting seeds out there, I want a plant to come up. Totally agree with that. But the rows next to it essentially kind of compensated a little bit, is what we think. So on the field scale, we didn't have a yield penalty from that. But it is a concern that should be at least be aware of.
Are there any other case studies on your website that you could just quickly summarize or think this would be of interest to farmers? I know looking at your website is jam-packed with information, so they can go on there and look. But anything else to highlight on that website that you direct people to? I know earlier I saw the narrow soybean rows not only combating weeds but white mold. So there's other things on there, you know, that can apply not just to weeds but maybe disease and things as well.
Yeah, I think, well, our latest sort of resource we put together is what we're calling the Weed Management Planner. And so it looks a lot like a herbicide effectiveness chart, if you've seen one of those. So you can imagine a table with different weed species going across the top and then different herbicides maybe going down the side and then, you know, like a 0 to 10 score for the herbicides. It's very similar to that, except instead of herbicides, it's different production practices. So the things, like we've talked about, harvest weed seed controls on there, narrowing the rows from, you know, wide rows to narrow rows, crop rotation, and that kind of thing. And so I think it's a tool that you can quickly go through, like, that's my problem weed. What are practices that if I'm not doing, I should consider? Or there's actually some practices that actually might be detrimental, right? It might make the weed problem worse. You know, so like tillage is one that can kind of go either way. For big, large seeded broadleaf weeds, tillage can make your problem worse, but for a small seeded weed like pigweed, no till is not the ideal system, or something like mare's tail as well. So that's a tool that's on there. It's developed in the Mid-Atlantic region, and so it's kind of got that focus to it, that those sort of weed species and those tactics, but we're working to expand that.
Karen, talk about that. You said earlier you'd like to see expansion of some of these resources.
Right. Well, first of all, I think it's fabulous that all of the extension weed scientists are working together across the U.S., and I think that's something that's really benefiting everyone. I've seen it with the soybean group and with the crop protection network, so anytime we can see collaboration, I think it's great, especially for some of us who are in states where we may not have all our extension positions filled. It's great to be able to get that information from other areas that are still being able to fund it.
Yeah.
Can you talk about, like, wanting to be in other areas? And I know you more region specific and things like that, because different regions have different problems. So you can only do so much, but you're looking at having this resource in many areas.
Yeah, we're having this resource in many areas, and we do have a pretty good swath of various states represented in the network. We also, you know, it's not like a club where we're trying to be only, you know, in certain places and you got to have a membership or kind of thing. We also try to highlight other information on through the news, which you can subscribe to and get that into your inbox there once a week. But we'll highlight, you know, if someone's doing something cool in the integrated weed management space, in a state that's like not, you know, directly receiving funding through GROW and our grants, but it's something we think people should be aware of. We try to highlight that, and so to try to be just a community resource, if you will, for all things weed management.
Real quick, talk about collaborating with Take Action. That's a new thing that you'll be working on and with them to put out those posters. What else do they do?
They have mode of action charts for insecticides, herbicides.
Informational. So GROW's going to start working with Take Action, correct?
Yeah, it's very exciting. We're joining forces with Take Action. So instead of having kind of two networks and teams, try to do that all under one umbrella, and I think that's going to be great. GROW is focused traditionally more or previously more on the non-chemical tactics, while Take Action has been more on the chemical tactics. And so having it all under one roof and all there together, I think it's going to be great for everybody. We were in anticipation of this. We were going through the Take Action website and looking at their resources, and there's a lot of great fact sheets and stuff like that. So a lot of this, so I think we have a pretty robust library now, but it's going to become even more robust when we add that in. We'll have a little bit of growing pains because some of the, you know, we've got similar things that we'll have to combine, but it's exciting that that's taking place here.
It's like what Karen said earlier, collaboration is huge, and we're starting to see that more in the industry.
Yeah, so we even at one of our Better Beans, I actually had somebody come up and ask me about the Take Action chart because they couldn't order it anymore. And so I had asked some of the weed researchers there, and they had pointed me towards you guys' direction. And so this is new, and I know that there's a lot of people still that don't know about this, and they are, you know, there's a lot of people that use those charts in this. They were using them actually as the way Karen probably is using them at a junior college or a community college type atmosphere. So definitely take note that you can now order those on the GROW website.
Good point. Thank you for that input. One more question for me that I like to ask because it gets people thinking about the future, but maybe putting on your researcher hat or something, when it comes to weeds, and this is for you, Karen, as well, putting on your agronomist hat, what should farmers be aware of? What should be on their radar? I know herbicide resistance is huge right now. I think maybe not everyone knows that, or they choose to ignore it, maybe. But you can talk about that, or maybe there's something else completely different that should be on their radar besides the herbicide resistance. So I don't know who wants to go first.
Some questions. Okay. So on the precision management, are you looking more at like spot spray, or I've seen also like some sort of specialty lights? I mean, is there any actual success with something like that? Do you really see us going to autonomous weeders? I guess I'm still skeptical about how close to that we are. I think we'll get there eventually, but I feel like we're a little farther away maybe.
Yeah, that's a research space that I haven't been too involved in. I agree with you that I think we'll get there eventually. I think what some of the precision weed management space that we're trying to do is actually species level recognition. And you look at like the optical sprayers that are on the market now, they're not recognizing species. And with the herbicides, you know, that kind of makes sense. They can take care of most species with just either as the crop, dirt, or a weed. But the species level, actually, even further in the future, would allow you to, you know, then actually target something specific for that species. So, you might have an optical sprayer that's recognizing species and spraying different herbicides for different species, or it recognizes that's a species that's got a bunch of herbicide resistance, and maybe it does something else, some other way to control that weed. So, I think those are going to be some interesting spaces to watch in the future. How that goes is. Yeah.
One of the things I still see that is an issue with farmers is identification. A lot of them just get chemical programs that maybe are sold by the masses, and they really need to be able to identify the top 3 to 4 weeds in each field and make an actual program for that field. And it may not be the same for every field that they have, which I know logistically makes it a little bit more of a nightmare, but if they're looking for good control, they really need to be at the field level and decide, you know, what weeds do I need to target, and then really hone in on the best management practices or best herbicides to take those out.
And you, maybe you want to talk to this, but Grow has weed identification on their website. So it's just as simple as going to the website and saying, hey, let's look at these visual pictures that we have. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, we do have, we kind of link to a lot of other good existing resources on weed identification. We kind of look at that space and we said, man, why reduplicate the effort again, right? If someone's got a good resource, let's just point them in that direction. But one thing that has come on lately, and it's, again, not a Grow resource, but some of the phone apps that can actually, you can look at, take a picture of the weed and get it identified, are becoming more and more impressive. My kind of stance as an academic on that is sort of trust but verify, right?
Yes.
But a lot of the common weeds, especially broadleaf weeds, they do a very good job on. Grasses are tougher, and that real small cotyledon stage they're tougher for all of us, the apps and humans, that's right. But they, but the cotyledon stage weeds are a little bit tougher there.
Is there anything else when it comes to either Grow or weed management in general that you want to leave our audience with?
I think farmers just need to look for different avenues. You know, using the herbicides or using more of the same herbicides if they have some issues are not going to be helpful. And we've also seen in the last year or so, we've had a lot of issues with moisture, and even good programs failed. So I think we need some backups that don't rely on moisture and don't necessarily rely strictly on herbicides.
I'll also say on the policy side, we're following that Illinois soybean very about what the Endangered Species Act and everything. So that option might be out the door anyways. You know, you just have to be prepared on all fronts. Michael, you have anything else to add?
No, I just totally agree. You know, we've got to figure out ways to diversify, and hopefully the resources on the website and social media platforms and stuff, check them out, and hopefully you'll get inspired and see some ways, ideas to try that.
Anything else? Any more questions? Anything for you? I think we covered it all. Yeah, what's your website real quick?
Yeah, it's growiwm.org, so growintegratedweedmanagement.org.
Grow, getting rid of weeds, remember that acronym.